Welcome to Community Lutheran Church's podcast, Bridges of Belief, being God's presence in a hurting world by accepting all people as we are created. Together we'll create a stronger community and a church renewed. I'm your host, Lee Trueheart. Welcome back to part two of a conversation with Pastor Carla Christopher. Our community is growing and discerning where God is leading us. You've shared powerful reflections on ministry. Turning to the future for a moment, if you were to step into a pastoral role here, what vision would you bring to a church like ours?
I think there's also a importance of what is the discernment that's already happened, and is there a match where there's a shared mission and vision, which is part of what drew me to community in the first place, that I can say my passions and my skills and my gifts are around education, around community engagement, connecting with resources, and those resources coming from other denominations, coming from nonprofits, coming from community, but how are we being relevant as well as reverent, and being part of the neighborhood that we're in, that we're planted here for a reason? So how are we called to engage in Delaware, in Sussex County, sure, with the partners that are around us? That community connection, that outward facing nature as something that's already part of the church, means that we can actually do the work together instead of each one trying to convince the other.
Right.
You know, it's a hard sell to take a very internal group and say, you really might want to think about not reinventing every wheel and doing everything by yourself.
Right.
There's a lot of people with wisdom, experience, knowledge, resource, who we could be doing this with and making even better impact and doing it without burning ourselves out. So community partnerships and building those, finding resources, finding good partners is a real strength of mine. I think there's a lot of growth potential and opportunity and a real passion for service and partnership, particularly with those who haven't always found safe spaces in the church.
Right.
And I have a lot of connection, insight, and trust already built in those communities and think that I could really help expand that work. But I'm also a very dedicated systems person. One of the best things that I did was that I actually have, along with my MDiv, my Divinity Pastor degree, is that I have a certificate in executive leadership from Princeton Theological Seminary. Change management, transitional leadership, building executive systems, finding ways to do things sustainably, that are life-giving, that are consistent. Those on-ramps that I mentioned earlier, they're very important to me. Everyone should be able to find their place in the organization, in the congregation, in the community, not just as attending, but in finding ways to lead, to teach, to share their gifts and skills, to be part of active ministry. I'm also really passionate about peace building and belonging, building communities of belonging. And there's a lot of science, research, and intentional specific systems behind that work. It's not just, let's all get along.
Right.
It's how are we putting supportive mechanisms, learning, actions in place to remove barriers from participation after we identify them thoughtfully and determine where we feel called and where we are resourced.
Right.
And then strategic planning about what our faithful and prayerful discernment is saying that we are called to do. Because I promise you, God did not call anyone to do everything.
Oh, that's true.
So intentional discernment about where is their interest,
right,
where is their resource, where is their need, where is there already some energy, enthusiasm, some level of understanding, mm-hmm, and how can we bring those together to find where we are called in this season? And then do we have regular systems to periodically reevaluate that,
right,
so that we can continue to grow and expand, also recognizing that sometimes that means release, sunset, or transition different ministries so that we contain a consistent level of energy, growth mindset, and excitement, sense of adventure and curiosity,
right,
and that we are not burning out, exhausting, or excluding because we're not thoughtful and intentional about our process.
Right.
People that may really want to find a space and a place with us.
Right. Thank you. What do you see as the most urgent need and the greatest opportunity for progressive churches today?
The things that come up, surprisingly enough, one is communication. There are a lot of messages out there that are marketing themselves under the banner of Christianity.
Yes.
And they are doing a lot to suppress or create fear around progressive Christian communities messaging.
Yes.
So that's part of why I love this podcast. I love digital ministry.
Yes.
I think newsletters and communications, opinion editorials and newspapers, healthy, informative websites that offer not just here's when our service is and here's our giving link, but also here's some YouTubes, here's some educational opportunities,
right.
Doing community-based events that are engaging and accessible and happen at different times of day and at different price points and in different locations so that people can come and bring their kids or bring their parents, bring their friends, and have exposure to just knowing that a different way is possible. Getting the message out and letting people know that they do have choices and opportunities for practicing their faith or even learning about faith in a different way is essential.
Yes.
And so is finding ways to pour into and develop and cultivate leaders. It is becoming less and less accessible in this economy, quite frankly, to become a pastor. In the ELCA, the Progressive Lutheran denomination, there's several recent studies that have come out that have said the future of leadership in the church is lay leadership. Even more of our seminaries are looking at programs for licensed ministers, congregationally certified or synodically authorized ministers. Just the practicality of go get a 4 to 5 year master's degree, move multiple times during the course of that, and then try to find a way to support yourself where a lot of congregations just don't have the funds for paid staffers to be doing all the things that need done.
Right.
So we need to have intentional leadership pathways to equip and empower individuals to work in their area of calling to where leadership looks like a team, where evangelism and outreach looks like a team approach that is community-centered.
Wow, that's interesting. Thank you. How do you cultivate belonging across the lines of difference, the race, identity, theology in a congregation?
So having community guidelines established, this is the kind of language we're going to use. This is the kind of behavior that's acceptable and having accountability to that, that certain types of jokes, certain types of language are simply not going to be used and they're not acceptable. And, you know, we have a process that involves a lot of grace and conversation privately and then conversation with a larger group. But there is a process. There is a place to go for help. There are contact people if there is a struggle or challenge. And we are involved and engaged in things like nonviolent communication, in restorative justice practice. This is something else. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's actually really good facilitation procedures on how to deal with, address, and resolve or find paths forward in conflict. But it is really important for marginalized folks to know that there is a process in place that will be followed, that they can ask for help. And it makes a lot of marginalized people feel safer even entering into a space if they know that certain commitments are made. We are going to respect pronouns here. We are going to use gender-inclusive language here.
Yes.
We are not tolerating violation of people's physical space. We're going to follow safe church practices. We practice gender equity. We have a welcoming statement that we stand behind that is important to us, and we have ways to live into it. Also, continuing education and reinforcement. Making the decision to be a certain way once does not continually onboard new members. It does not orient guests or visitors. It needs to be worked into every service. It needs to be worked into meetings. It needs to be regularly reinforced with leaders and teams, and accessible and easily findable for members of the congregation or curious visitors. So just a
Right.
lot of intentionality around policy, procedure, and education.
I'm going to throw this one in. So how do you establish that when there's a church already established and this is the way that they've been?
I think there's a lot of conversation, congregational meetings, working with small groups, getting together groups of facilitators, because not everybody wants to talk in a group of 200.
Right.
But what we can do is work with a smaller group,
okay,
and then have those smaller groups host small discussion
okay.
groups.
Yeah.
And we can also use surveys and individual phone calls, a small group of people, a team of change navigators or culture shifters can make phone calls. Everybody just has a list of four or five names to reach out to get feedback. And there does need to be a general consensus,
sure,
that there's enough of us who really discern that this direction is helpful for us. It's important to pray together, to do education and learning. That's a process when, like, congregations are becoming reconciling in Christ or intentionally
sure.
LGBTQ affirming. There's a process that's outlined on the reconcilingworks.org website,
right,
that really works for any type of culture shift or change navigation. Start off by doing some non-judgmental, this is the result we must have, but just let's learn. Book
sure.
study, film nights, guest speakers, classes, presentation of information in multiple formats with time to digest,
right,
and with prayer and some thought questions, some Bible study prompts, to encourage people to engage outside of the one-off event in between. And then some facilitated conversations and some surveys, and then having a group put together proposed ideas. Here's what a plan forward might look like. And then giving the congregation an opportunity to offer feedback. We're not wordsmithing with 200
No.
people,
No.
but that small group, making sure that there is space for that feedback, and then turning that into an actionable plan that engages and involves each person doing something. And that can be as simple as setting community agreements, creating a welcoming statement, deciding on some new art pieces and project
Right.
to put in the building, and asking each person to put their name on it, to bring in a photo to put in a giant collage, but actually holding intentional space for each and every person to be involved, and recognizing that not everyone is going to come along.
Right.
And that is okay.
Right.
Discernment and being part of the body of Christ means that some of us are the hands and some of us are the feet and some of us are the shoulders. There are many churches. There are many denominations. We're not better or worse than anyone else. We simply are who we are called to be. And we must do that work to discern who we're called to be and be true to that. But recognize that it is okay if
Yeah.
someone says, this isn't for me, I'd like to remain your friend, but I really would like to do this a little differently. And so I'm going to go over here and do that. And that we're able to love and bless and release.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. What does shared leadership look like to you in this church setting?
I think the empowerment and intentional education for team leads, coming up with, because all roads lead not to Rome, but to vision and mission statement, core values, and then an agreed upon strategic plan that come out of those things. The vision is who you want to be, who you want the world to be, what you feel like God's vision for beloved community
okay.
is. So the vision is how the world ideally will be as our understanding of the gospel calls us to.
Okay.
And then the mission is, what is our part in building that? What is
okay.
our part in crafting or in helping build beloved community? The core values are, what are the things we're going to hold ourselves accountable as we are doing that work of whatever our mission is to which we are called, because process is as important as product. It is part of how we teach and model, and where a lot of the transformation and growth happens in the doing is doing it in a certain way that feels love-centered, faithful, inclusive, cooperative. And then the strategic plan is just setting the goals and figuring out who's going to bottom line what. And in that strategic plan is where we break out, okay, we're called to these things first, and then these things, and then these things, not all the things all at once. And we're going to talk about them for 8 years before we actually do any of them, because that causes people to lose momentum and get discouraged and frustrated. And it doesn't allow people to use their gifts. So strategic planning helps us create a web of supported leadership, because part of that plan is, well, this person has a real passion for doing this work, but they could use some additional training. They do need some help with this. Okay, let's get them the help they need. This job is too big for one person. Let's identify two or three people, equip them all, get that team going, and get that moving. And then how are they reporting back? Who's checking in with them to ask how it's going, and do they need help? I think that my version of pastoring is really centered in being someone who equips and empowers, who distills, and who supports people in discernment, because everybody has a vocational call, every single human. Mine is a pastor and a particular type of pastor, but this is core Lutheranism right here. One vocation is not more sacred than another. As long as what you're doing is being done for the glory of God and uses your God-given gifts, then it is an absolute joyful, necessary celebration that should be supported and uplifted by the church. So my job as a pastor who teaches, coordinates, empowers, and supports people connecting their work with the gospel is not any more important or valuable or sacred or holy than the person who is our accountant, or the person who is our tech minister, or our podcast host, or our hospitality or our security person. And so doing spiritual gift work and doing vocational discernment work to help people find out what they are called to, and then making sure they're equipped and empowered, making sure they have a team so that nothing falls on anyone alone, and then making sure that there is a system of support to regularly get feedback, regularly check on people, and regularly find out if there's additional needs or if people need to tag out for a minute and have that replacement. So just those regular check-ins, and that also provides accountability to make sure that we're not experiencing mission drift, that we are bringing things back to that vision, the mission, we're using our core values, and we're staying in alignment with the plan, because that's something that's created by all of us. We're not doing this by ourselves. So, one ministry is not owned by one person. It's part of what we've discerned together as the church. And sometimes we need to remind each other of that. How do we bring this back into the context of the vision and the prayers and the discernment of this community together?
Else, I one of the things that you were saying about the letting people utilize what their calling is, and that maybe it also helps for people to find out what their calling is, and in that same way, having that system or that help in place.
That's right. Discernment, spiritual gift work, spiritual practices. That's a lot of what I feel that my job as a pastor is to help connect people with. And again, not to do it all myself, because there are certain people that have very specific discernment and spiritual direction, gifts, but I can help connect people if they're questioning. I'm not really sure what my calling is. I'm really struggling with discernment, where to plug in, what to do. Well, let's find out what your barriers are and how can we get you what you need to overcome those barriers so that you can live into your fullest calling.
Absolutely. How do you balance prophetic preaching with pastoral presence, especially in challenging times?
I speak with as much grace and love as possible, and I stay centered in Scripture. I am not ordained to the Church of Carla. I am part of.
There was one.
Should be, you know, it's coming. No, I am. I'm called to the Church of God, and so I don't apologize for preaching Scripture.
Sure.
And that's why what I preach is Scripture. Now, if I'm like, hey, here's the historical context, here's some of the translations, here's what other scholars have said, here's what my research revealed,
right.
I did my work, and then I also prayed and meditated over this piece of Scripture, I looked at how it relates to the world around us, and here are my thoughts on it. If someone disagrees, okay, you may disagree, and I love that for you, and I love you, and also I'm called to preach the gospel.
Right.
Now, the more challenging part comes for the people that hire me. I do constantly keep an old community organizing slogan in mind. Our enemies are systems, not people. One thing that you will not hear me do from the pulpit, you will not hear me do from a class, a lectern, or a table, is talk about a specific person.
Right.
Because that person, no matter how much I don't love what they are doing,
right,
that person is beloved of God.
Right. Absolutely.
And there are absolutely moments in my own life that I'm not proud of decisions that I made.
Sure.
No human, no other child of God individually is my enemy. But systems
yes.
that empower people to do great evil,
yes,
those systems are absolutely my enemy. The ability for an individual who is in struggle or who thinks differently than me
right.
to cause harm to other people
right.
is unacceptable.
Right.
And so I will preach against, I will speak against, I will fight against, I will put my body in the line of fire to protect God's people
right.
from systems of hurt and harm. And that Jesus did.
Yes,
and
he did.
Jesus spoke about, and Jesus called us to. And so for that, I cannot, will not apologize. Here I stand, I can do no other, as Martin Luther said.
Absolutely. I never thought about the enemies being a system, and I can see it.
Right. And it really does help
today's
change
challenge.
The way that you preach.
Yeah.
Because talking about an individual can cause real hurt and harm. And
Oh,
when it
sure.
becomes personal, it can sow a lot of seeds of toxicity that spread and spiral and cause a lot of defensiveness that takes the center away from Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're here for.
Right.
So it always is going to center for me with Jesus. And then it's what are the systems that prevent that gospel from being shared freely and lived out by those who want to and feel called to live it out. And that's a lot harder to argue with. And
yeah.
it's also clearly not personal. And it is biblically centered. So if you're sitting in a church and you have a problem with something that comes with significant scriptural backup, then it may be that your problem isn't with me. It isn't even with prophetic preaching.
Right.
It's on a much larger level with something that is nothing to do with me. And so therefore, I'm not going to take on what isn't mine
right.
to carry and hold.
Yeah. No, that's good. How do you nurture intergenerational ministry? And what does that look like in an affirming space?
I think the importance of accessibility practices, and there's a lot of design thinking resources around How can we make sure that a great message should apply to anyone, and that that great message is receivable by everyone?
Sure.
Just a really basic example. It's been so lovely being someplace that has screens so that we can look up and see things and
Sure.
actually be engaged with other people around us. But then I realized, you know what? This Sunday, I didn't bring my glasses and I can't see
See.
the distance. But there wasn't a up close option.
Right.
And so one of the church members the next week was like, I printed up just a handful of one page, not a fancy bulletin, but just an up close option.
Sure.
And I was so grateful because it was eliminating a barrier.
Sure.
So a lot of the accessibility that we think of as intergenerational actually is helpful because people have different learning styles,
Sure.
people have different physical abilities,
Sure.
different financial abilities. And so places with parking lots and good lighting and happening at certain times of day can
Yes.
be valuable for intergenerational folks, but also to help working
Sure.
and non-working, to help people with different transportation issues and financial needs, all of that. So rather than saying, we need to have children and senior citizens
You're
and
right.
folks that are middle-aged, I just think of if this is a valuable enough event that the congregation, the community has discerned is part of who we are,
Right,
we're
yeah.
called to do it. Then I step back and say, what are the barriers to participation?
Right.
If do we need to have childcare or a space where kids can play? Because if there's not any space for people to bring their kids,
Right.
then that's a barrier to participation. If we're having it in the middle of the morning only, that's a barrier to participation
Right.
for kids who are in school, for folks who are working. If we're having it, even people have asked me, some of the beach worship things that we do involve a lot of trekking over some high sand.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so
Yeah.
we have beach worship, but we also have other options that don't involve trekking over sand dunes.
Right.
So it doesn't always have to be the same thing either. It is okay, I
Sure.
believe, to say, let's do a similar program, but let's do it in the morning. Let's do it at night. Let's do it on Zoom. Let's do it on Zoom and record it for folks who couldn't be with us
Right.
and make sure that we have closed captioning and let's use accessible language that people from different learning styles and different education
Yes.
levels and different ages, where English might not be their first language, can all understand it. Or we're just making sure we're speaking slow enough that Google
Right. Yeah.
Translate can keep up and
Absolutely.
speaking clearly. So that lens of barrier removal, barrier awareness,
Sure.
and accessibility does a lot for intergenerational and to expand to many other different categories of folks as well as
Yes.
across ages.
Absolutely. Physical ailments a lot of the needs for adaptation isn't just for the old. It's for everybody.
Amen.
What spiritual practices or rhythms would you encourage for a congregation to stay grounded and mission-oriented?
I think continued interaction with the community that is outside of the congregation.
Sure.
So bringing in actual real people, speakers on a regular basis, guest musicians, guest performers, liturgical dancers, guest speakers, bringing in guest restaurants and chefs to do
Oh,
a
wow,
coffee
yes.
hour or a meal, bringing in filmmakers and doing a film night. But finding ways that uplift the gifts and the diversity that exists in community and that also highlight the really inspiring good work that folks are doing that we might be able to learn from, contribute to, or just celebrate
Yeah.
and feel empowered by. So just really reinforcing regularly. I'm also a big fan of retreat. So we
Yeah.
cannot just work all the time.
Right,
We
absolutely.
also need retreat days where the council is together in prayer and having fun, where
Yes,
teams take
absolutely.
time to do some learning and some
Sure.
education and also some discernment and some frolicking. And even the congregation as a group, we're going to skip Sunday morning today and we're all going to meet at an accessible beach and we're going to have a cookout or a meal together. Or we're going to attend as a concert
Sure.
celebration together. Opportunities that combine fellowship and intentional community building, mentorship, partnering people with others to offer support, educational learning and training opportunities, and connecting all of those in as many ways as possible to the world outside of our building. Whether it's denominational partners, whether it's other
Yes.
ecumenical congregational partners, whether it's businesses or nonprofits, especially uplifting those from marginalized communities, keeping us connected in joy and celebration, as well as in work and service.
A lot of good ideas you had there. If you could dream with us, what would you hope this church becomes in 5 years?
I would love to see being able to walk around this neighborhood, being able to go into local businesses, being able to go into nonprofits and organizations and say, "Do you know community?" And them being like, "Oh, yeah, that's the," and having an
Absolutely.
answer that is positive in some
Sure.
way, uplifting that they know who we are and that they have had an interaction with us that helped them see the face of God in community, to be a representation of that church, that faith communities can be positive contributors to neighborhood and community, can be a place of safety, and that we have individuals who can share with us stories of how they have grown, transformed, and changed, how they are not the person they were 5 years ago
Oh, yeah.
because of their relationship and their interaction with community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That kind of reminds me of my sister that who has passed, that it was her interaction with the football coach for her son's team that was able to actually change a lot of how they did things, because the coach learned it from her and stuff. So it was interesting. So you never know where that what's going to be taught or whatever.
That's right.
As we consider where God is calling all of us, what would you want to know about us as a church?
I would love to know what is exciting and where people are finding hope and joy and also experiencing curiosity. There is a lot of wonderful service. There's a lot of wonderful support and ministry that is happening. But I want to know, where does the congregation need to be poured into? What
Yeah.
do you want to learn? How do you want to be growing and not just be a source of healing and transformation for others, but also be continuing to learn, try new things,
Yeah.
grow, and be transformed for yourselves?
Right.
How can you be poured into so that you can continue to pour
Wow.
out for others?
I can't answer any of those.
Now, I
Okay,
know.
I just wanted to make sure. I asked the question, but I can't answer it. So before I close this episode out, what is one thing you hope the listeners will take away from this conversation?
I would hope that people realize that every one of us has very specific, unique, important, valuable spiritual gifts. We all have a calling on our life. We have a sacred vocation. God finds us absolutely useful, needed, necessary, valuable. We are here with specific gifting and purpose. And it is never too late because vocations shift and change over life.
Yeah.
I believe that as a social worker in my 20s, I was doing God's work.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that when I was a community organizer and then a poet and a publisher in my 30s, I was doing God's work. When I went back to school in my 40s, I thought I was bananas. But I am absolutely firm in my conviction that I am living out the life God has called me to that I started in my 40s. And I have no idea what my very close to me 50s will bring, but I'm sure that it will look once again different. And that's also absolutely okay.
Yes.
We are not tied to who we have been.
No.
We are freed in Christ to become who we are meant to be.
Absolutely.
And we are worthy. We are valuable. We are sacred and blessed, and we are called by God to do powerful things for the healing of the world and the building of community. There is hope. There is joy.
Yeah.
There is friendship. There is celebration. The end is not here yet.
No.
And so we're not going to live like it is.
No. And you know, none of that is indicative of whether you are bananas or not. So I'm just...
That is fair enough.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. But that is true. Thank you, Pastor Carla, for joining us on the Bridges of Belief podcast. I invite you all to come and visit or share the podcast. If you've been searching for a place where you belong, we'd love to welcome you to us. Welcome you to worship with us. I can say this. At Community Lutheran Church, 30897 Omar Road in Frankfurt, or you can find us online, https://bridgebuilder.church. Whether it's in person or online, for the 8:45 or the 10:30 service on Sundays, with a small group or just a cup of coffee, there's a spot here for you. We'll see you next episode, and thank you for joining us.